Hello world, hello everybody, hello Arsenal fans and football fans alike. Welcome back, finally back to episode 8 of SFG Podcast. I am your host, Mr. Lion Zion, aka Lion BKA Leon, for whoever doesn't know how to pronounce my name, CKA. The only left back you need in South Florida. DKA Jizz. I don't even know what that means. I don't have a DKA. I am with my co-host, Mr. Scruffy himself, Coach Sick, aka Sakani Buzzin BKA. I don't even know your BKAs. I'm just gonna call you Coach Sick. Since everybody knows you as Coach Sick. Sick, how you doing today, my brother?
I'm good, man. It's just great to be back. I'm glad we're able to get this content out for you guys. Like I said, man, it's just good to be back.
For sure. It's definitely been some time since we last recorded. And, you know, I was humbled by the amount of people that reached out and was like, yo, what are y'all doing? Hey, when is this?
Yeah, man.
When we getting this stuff back? When we getting this pod? And, you know, now that the season's in full swing and, you know, we're starting to finally get to the end of the starting points of the season, and then, you know, within a month or so we're going to be in the business end of the season, I think the football is picking up, which means people are watching, which means people want to which means people have opinions and they want to share opinions and hear opinions and all that good stuff. So it's good, man. It's good. Shout out to everybody that hit us up. Shout out to y'all. Shout out to everyone that's listening. Shout out to y'all. You know, it's been a busy month per se, so we apologize for not getting this out to y'all sooner, but we have much to discuss. And I know when we last spoke, or we last got on the pod with V2, shout out to V2 again.
Yes, my
really,
guy.
Really good to have him on. Really knowledgeable Liverpool fan. And when we last got on, we spoke about that, and you know, Liverpool beat us 3-1. Was it 3-1?
Yep.
Yeah, it was
3-1. Yep, 3-1, 3-1.
And it seemed like, I mean, that game, it kind of showed their class. We were still, kind of showed us where we were as a team and where they were as a team. But luckily, since then, we've gotten back to winning ways. We saw them in the EFL Cup where we
Carabao Cup
where we were able to get the best of them.
Carabao.
And since then as well, we've also beaten Sheffield United 2-1, and we're just kind of going through some of the games kind of on a rapid fire situation to get you guys caught up. For all those who have just not been watching any type of football since our last podcast. And then right before that game, right before the Man City game, which was right after Sheffield United, was deadline day. And we wanted to get a podcast out specifically for deadline day because we were hoping to get Hussein Aouar or Thomas Partey. And we ended up getting the latter. So, Thomas Partey, better late than never. Welcome to Arsenal, sincerely from the SFG podcast.
Yes.
Great signing. Definitely an upgrade to the midfield, if I may say so myself. Ghanaian Miles. International. And Miles. Now that we've actually
Miles ahead.
Now that we've actually been able to see him for a few games, we'll get into that a little bit later. But just a quick profile on him. As we said, Ghanaian international, 27 years old, 6 foot Ghanaian, 172 pounds of pure footballing genius. I mean, this guy is, in my opinion, a world-class central midfielder. I think he solves a lot of problems for us in the midfield. And as again, we'll get into that, but great signing. 54 million.
Yeah, with all the add-ons.
All the add-ons. Yeah. Arsenal decided on deadline day, in true Arsenal fashion, that they wanted to trigger Thomas Partey's release clause. And they did so with Atletico Madrid. Atletico apparently, allegedly, were not very happy at us triggering the release clause on transfer deadline day, as it was said, it was alleged that Arsenal did not speak to Atletico Madrid on deadline day prior to submitting the bid. Because in La Liga, when you submit transfer, when you submit buyout clauses or, you know, transfer buyout clauses, you submit it to La Liga, to the actual league, and not necessarily to the club. So
it's crazy. Not to cut you off, but like I was talking to a couple of my friends, and they were just saying like, what if Atletico don't want to let him go? And I said, well, it ain't really up to
it's
them.
It's not really up to them. That's
it ain't really up to them.
That it's
if we pay his buyout clause, he is coming to our team. It's as simple as that.
Right.
Because that's what happens when you put the buyout clause on the contract. If that team that wants you pays that buyout clause, you're leaving the team you're on. It's quite simple. So I know Atletico were the headlines were coming out that they were pretty upset, but at the end of the day, you guys knew what was coming when you gave him the buyout clause. It's as correct. Simple as that.
And it wasn't all bad. I mean, in other news, Lucas Torreira went the opposite way and is on loan from us to Atletico Madrid. So they were able to at least get that. So I don't think it was all bad. I'm sure they probably don't want to do much business with us anymore, but hey.
And he's actually not playing bad. Actually, I was.
Oh, you seen him lately? I haven't been.
Yeah, he's not starting yet, but he's not playing bad. When he, that's I think he did start one game, and I was gonna say okay. that he started one game and they won maybe 2-0, I believe, or maybe 3-0. Mm-hmm. But whenever he's gotten on the pitch, he's looked pretty good. But I feel like that type of team suits him because he's a workhorse, and Simeone is a defensive minded guy that likes people that work super hard in his system. So
correct.
I think it'll benefit him in the long run. To be honest with you, so nice. I think it was a good little swap deal. I don't want to say swap deal.
It wasn't a swap.
They're going to end up buying him. They're going to end up buying him next year, most likely,
in
my opinion. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So, so Partey is now an Arsenal player. And Lucas Torreira has gone the opposite way. Was there any other business done on deadline day? Not really. Anything serious.
The goalkeeper.
Was he a deadline day sign?
I believe so.
I think we signed him before.
Was it the day before?
Yeah, I think it was the day before couple days before. I think we actually signed him a few days before he actually before the deadline day. But I could be wrong.
Oh, okay.
Because I think we discussed him.
Yeah, I think the only other transfers were just like the youngsters going out on loan. Yeah, we had quite a few young guys go out on loan.
But the first team players, everyone in the first team pretty much did.
I know recently they were saying that Reece Nelson was supposed to go out on loan and he turned that down
to fight for his place in the team. And we're gonna get into Reece.
Me too, man.
We're gonna get into Reece.
Yeah, man.
We'll talk about
I really think he deserves a chance, man.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
I agree.
But anyways, let's move forward then. So Partey's is Arsenal signee. It's Arsenal player, sorry. And deadline day came and went. So right after deadline day, Arsenal took on Manchester City, correct? That's where we were. Right after deadline day. I think deadline day was the 15th, and we played Man City on the 17th. So, Man City, Arsenal, 1-0. Man City, goal by Raheem Sterling. The score line.
No. not to cut you off, sorry. Mm-hmm. We actually had deadline day, and then it was international break.
It was international break, yeah. So, yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And then...
So, we had City the week after.
The,
yep. Yeah,
the week after. Yep, yep, yep. 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 So...
I forgot about that, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
True, true. So, Man City beat us 1-0. We're just going to go quickly through it just so we can get up to speed. Raheem Sterling scores the winner on the 23rd minute. Pretty dominant performance by City, I would say. I don't think we bothered them too much in terms of really getting after it. We did get to see Partey make his debut towards the end of the game, which was cool. So he was able to get in. But our formation, we played Leno in the back. Tierney, Gabriel, Luis, and Bellerin in the back line. We played 4-3-3. Saka, Xhaka, and Danny Ceballos in the midfield. And a front three of Aubameyang, Willian, and Pepe. Now, this front three was something that somewhat of a surprise because it seemed like Willian was playing like a false nine. You know, it looked like Willian was playing as center forward.
Hated that.
And a lot of, yes, very controversial front three. So definitely annoying. A weird front three. Did not work. Let's just put it that way. We're just gonna go through this. It didn't work. Did not look good. On the day, Man City seemed to just kind of have their way with us. And they even looked like they were half speed. Looking at their formation, Ederson was out. So Morales or Maurice, whatever you want to pronounce it, in goal. They played a 3-4-3-1-4-2. It kind of looked like, or 3-5-2, if you want to call it that. Kyle Walker.
Ederson was there.
Huh?
I don't think he got... Ederson was there. Ederson played.
He did?
Yeah. Ederson played.
Really?
Maurice is his last name.
Maurice. Ah, he did. You're right.
Why
don't I looking at Ederson? Why am I looking at...
Oh. Yeah, but he played. Yeah, he I'm pretty did. Sure he had a involvement in Sterling's goal.
Yes, you're right. I'm reading the wrong.
Yeah, like
I'm
a long distribution
backup for some reason. My mistake. Yes, Ederson did play. Yes, and actually was. Yeah, you're right. It was the distribution to Sterling. That was like what 60 yards or whatever because he's an absolute
something
baller
like that
and just does that every single day. Yeah, so Ederson did play. My mistake. Ederson in the back. Kyle Walker. Ruben Diaz?
Yep.
And Nathan Ake is the back three. Was that Rodri?
Rodri in front, D-mid
right in front of them, kind of anchoring that back line. Mahrez out wide on the right. Foden and Cancelo. Is that Foden? Or Foden and Bernardo Silva. And Cancelo.
Yeah, Cancelo was in there too, though.
Cancelo was Foden and Cancelo in the midfield because you know Pep loves to play wingbacks at central mid for some reason, which ends up working. I don't know. And then Bernardo Silva on the left, and then Sterling and Aguero up top. So it could have looked like a 3-4-3. Could have looked at a 3-5-2. You know, they have it as a 3-1-4-2. Yeah, most people would say man of the match there was probably between Mahrez and Sterling and maybe Ederson. Mahrez just kind of had his way with us, mainly because I think, you know, Tierney had a rough time getting up and down the field and getting help because Mahrez just kind of stood out there and kind of kept him honest in that sense. So he couldn't really do much, but. You know, 6 shots for him, 2 on target, 1 key pass. I mean, he was all over the place. 3 aerials, 1. I mean, Mahrez was just, you know.
Being Mahrez,
right? For what it's worth, Leno probably was our best player, I think, that day. Kind of kept us in the game.
If he didn't have those saves, I think it would have been
much worse.
at least 2-3-0. So
and also his pass percentage, 86%, really good on the day for a goalkeeper specifically. But yeah, so we're gonna like I said, really the best part for us, I think, on the day was getting Partey on the field. You know, actually just showing him then, and he just looked like he could just kind of seamlessly slot himself into there. So it was, it was really good to see him, and we moved on. So after Man City, the following Thursday, we played Rapid Wien. is Rapid's Austrian Bundesliga team. In the group stage of UEFA Europa League. So got some Europa League action. We were able to win 2-1. Goals from David Luiz and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Now, the game was a strange one, right? Strange game away from home.
Yeah.
Leno didn't cover himself in glory. Actually kind of caused the first goal. You know, with a back pass. Was kind of playing it playing it back and forth with David Luiz and with I think it was Luiz and got nicked and boom, 1-0. So before we even get there, starting lineup for us, Leno in goal, Kolasinac, Gabriel, David Luiz, and Cedric Suarez making, I think, his first start in Europa League, at least for us.
For the season. For the season.
Yeah, period. For the season, exactly. Then the looks like a 4-3-3. So back four, as I said, Kolasinac, Gabriel, Luiz, Cedric, Bakayo Saka, Thomas Partey, and Elneny in the midfield. And front three of Eddie Nketiah, Lacazette, and Pepe, which is, again, for the second week in a row, a very controversial front three. I didn't really get why Arteta wanted to play Eddie out wide when Reece was there. Yeah, you know, we had guys. I mean, you're looking at our substitutes, Hector Bellerin, Tierney, the backup keeper, Renarsson, and Aubameyang, Ainsley, Maitland-Niles, Mustafi, Reece, Joe, Willock, Macy, and Granit Xhaka. So now, as you know, in Europa League, you can carry more players because you can sub five people on. So your substitutes, I think you can use a full 18 or something like that. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, 10 substitutes you're carrying, you know. So, I mean, I understood, but, like, I didn't understand why we start. I would have rather just start Eddie at center forward and play Reece. And then if we need the goal, you know, bring on Lacazette and Aubameyang, which we ended up doing, you know, bring on Aubameyang late. And he was able to kind of rescue this for us because David Luiz scored off of a header in the 70th minute. And 4 minutes later, Aubameyang scored the winner off of a Bellerin assist. But a very choppy game. I mean, we hadn't been on form. It looked like since the Liverpool game, right? It kind of looked like even playing Sheffield after that game, the win in between all of this, we just didn't look convincing enough. The team started to look weird in terms of the formations. I don't know if it was just due to injuries and things like that. But even with the win, it was one of those wins where you're kind of just like, ooh, you know, we're not looking on form going into the weekend, playing against a tough, tough Leicester City team, which we end up playing that following Sunday, which we lost 1-0 to 80 minute Jamie Vardy goal. So this was probably when you started to see the questions. This is when you know, the first two times again we speak about Arteta's formation and his thoughts and things like that. And I think this game, people were like, okay, what is he doing? I think people were kind of just questioning it because we went with a back three, Leno, David Luiz, Gabriel, and then it looked like Xhaka was playing left center back. Who Scored has it looked like that too as well. Google has it looked like that as well. I mean, he was there. Let's just put it that way. Regardless of if it was a back four or back three, I mean, most people are going to look, I mean, most websites are claiming it as a back three. So if it was a back three, it looked like Xhaka was playing left center back. I don't know why. I have no idea. I don't know why we just didn't go with the back four, but we ended up going with the back three. So again, David Luiz, Gabriel, and Xhaka as left center back. Midfield, left wing back was Tierney, right wing back, Bellerin. So really a back five. And Partey and Danny Ceballos in the midfield. And then a front three of Bakayo Saka on the left, Lacazette in the middle, center forward, and Aubameyang on the right. And it wasn't a bad game. I think it was the 25th minute, if I'm not mistaken, where Lacazette actually scored a header off of a corner kick that was ruled offsides due to Xhaka being in an offsides position, which very controversial at the time. as much, you know, many pundits after the game said they would have ruled it a goal, because it looked like Kasper Schmeichel was not impeded. It looked like Xhaka was not in his kind of frame of sight when the goal was scored, and he didn't change the trajectory of the goal at all. So really, it kind of looked like he wasn't in the play. So a difficult call, but a call nonetheless. Now let me just backtrack and tell you guys what Leicester's formation was, because this is also kind of controversial too as well. Leicester played a 3-4-1-2 or 3-4-2-1. Back three of obviously Kasper Schmeichel in goal, Christian Fuchs on the left center back, Johnny Evans at center back in the central, and Fofana on the right center back
position. I like Fofana, man.
Decent player. You know what? Leicester keeps finding these center backs.
You know, man. He came from the same team as Saliba.
As Saliba, right? In France.
Him and Saliba were the partnership in
which is also why people are asking why, you know, Saliba's not playing. But anyways.
Agreed. Yep.
Casting on the right, kind of the right wing back role, I guess I'd say. Yuri Tielemans, another baller, paired with Mendy in the center midfield again, and Justin out wide on the left as the left wing back role. Now you have Madison and Pratt in the two, I guess, sort of attacking mid roles, and then Harvey Barnes up top. So in a sense, they're kind of playing like that Spain circa 2011, you know, team, like where Fabregas is playing up top as a false nine. It's like Harvey Barnes is playing as a false nine to start the game. And they end up bringing on JV Vardy later on, who ends up scoring the winner for them. So, first half, we had the bulk of the chances. It seemed like possession stats were looking in our favor. I mean, we looked like the better team, but it was kind of a smash and grab, I guess you could say, in that sense, because as soon as Jamie Vardy came on, the game changed for sure. Yuri Tielemans played
like always.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell it is, this man.
And a Brendan Rodgers, you gotta hand it to Brendan Rodgers. I mean, he made the change. It happened. And they won. They left the Emirates with 3 points basically out of one play. Yuri Tielemans spotted who was it? I think it was Under, right? Under had came on for,
yeah, Har- it was
for,
under,
Harvey,
under.
For Harvey Barnes. And it almost looked like at halftime, you know, I could imagine Brendan Rodgers going to Under and Vardy and saying, listen, when you get on the field, attack Granit Xhaka. Attack the left center back. You guys have more pace. Just go there. Because that's what happened. Under checked in. Yuri Tielemans got the ball around midfield. Granit Xhaka, you know, went to him. He lost him, checked right back out, played a long ball over, which isn't his fault. I mean, it's his fault as it's your man, but I'm not expecting Granit Xhaka to man mark, you know, quick wide players. I mean you got to look at your manager, right? And find out why your manager is putting you in that position in the first place. Yeah, but man, he ended up losing. That. He ended up losing his man, Gabriel. Yuri Tielemans plays an amazing 30-40 yard pass. I mean, this is a world class pass, and that's what he does. He's able to pick out passes over the top. Ends up being a 2v1 situation where Gabriel now has to track Under, because he, you know, Xhaka ends up losing Under, and first touch knocks it right back over to a wide open Jamie Vardy, who slots it into the net. 1-0. Bang, bang, play. And a lot of people spoke about Mustafi also not tracking Gabriel, which I agree with. Jamie Vardy at the time. And I agree with that too as well, because you can see before the play starts, Gabriel kind of looking at Mustafi to kind of let him know to be in line and with the back three. And Mustafi came on late,
I understand. By the way. I understand the Xhaka part. Like, yes, he needs to do a better job, even though he's super slow. But he has to do a better job with closing that down. But at the end of the day, he got beat and Gabriel had to step. And your next center back is nowhere to be found.
Yeah. And honestly, so. it's like you said, in a perfect world, the back three would be in line and everyone is able to cover each other. But, you know,
The crazy thing is even if David Luiz was there in the game still, I think he's in the position to clear that up. And that's my honest opinion.
Yeah, but I agree. I agree with that too. But I think it starts with, you know, that ball gets over the top, we lose the man, and everyone's kind of out of position at that point. Because Gabriel has to go to under. Has to. He's no choice. And Mustafi's, who's already late to begin with, now is not even, you know, barely in the box when the ball gets played over the top. At the end of the day, it's a great play by Leicester. We're caught out with our pants down because we're at a makeshift back line where I don't think Granit Xhaka should be there in the first place. I don't think Mustafi, and ideally, you'd want to play there either. You know, you don't have your guys. We're playing a Leicester team that has most of their guys, and we didn't. So we look like a battered and bruised team. Rob Holding was hurt. You know, the back line just didn't look, you know, David Luiz came off. You know, in the midst to these gridlocked games, things like that will happen. You obviously don't want to give up 3 points there when you feel like you're the better of the teams, of the two teams. But, you know, it's a life go, right? As our Jamaican parents would say. So, yeah,
very true.
So after that, took that 1-0, and we hadn't, you know, hadn't won a Premier League game in a couple weeks now. By that point, we regrouped, and after losing to Leicester, we then went to Dundalk. Actually, Dundalk came to us. Dundalk is in the Irish Premier League, if I'm not mistaken. In the Europa League, and we were able to beat them 3-0. And I think this was one of the better games we've played in the last month or so.
It's crazy. I heard like their coach wasn't even able to coach the game.
Yeah, he didn't have a license, right? Yeah, apparently he couldn't be in the coaching with the coach box, right? The manager box.
Yeah,
because
so crazy to me.
He didn't have his license. So yeah, super interesting.
I need to make my way over to the
right
to that league,
to Dundalk. You know what I'm saying?
Because if he could do that, he's playing in the Europa League
against Arsenal.
Yeah, I need to start coaching over there.
Yeah, definitely. So let's this team, very young, obviously, because you know this is a game we were expecting to win. We finally got to see Renarsson. Our new backup goalkeeper, who also had a really good game. So, quickly, we'll talk about the formation first. 3-4-2-1 again. Back three of Kolasinac, Xhaka, and Mustafi. I know that made a lot of people shiver and shriek in fear when they saw that. Maitland-Niles on the left, as left wing back. Cedric Suarez again on the right wing back. Joe Willock and Elneny paired in central midfield. And a front three of Reece Nelson, Eddie Nketiah, and Pepe. I was excited when I saw that. I was finally like, okay, let's see the kids. Let's finally get, you know, Reece some game. Finally get Pepe a start. You know, and Eddie. And it paid off. It paid off. What did you think about the lineup first?
I liked it. I thought it was a good balance, you know, for a team like this. Me personally, I thought we should have won this game, you know, comfortably like how it was. But I just needed us to get that goal early and then the rest will fall into place. But I thought it was a good balance. I was excited to see the goalkeeper. I wanted to see what he was all about, see why we went out and got him. I was excited to see Reece because I always wondered why he didn't get more game. But then again, you know, I found out that he picked up an injury that kind of set him back. And he finally made his way back into the team. I'm still trying to see, you know, what Willock's, you know, key role is going to be and how he's going to contribute to the team and what he, you know, has to offer in the long run. But like I said, man, I was pretty excited to see some of these youngsters and see how they handled themselves in this game. I was glad to see the other youngster that came on. I'm not even gonna butcher
Balogun. Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to see how he kind of got on. I'm glad he got a couple minutes in, even though he didn't get to touch the ball often. But
yeah, he didn't touch the ball too much.
It was good. It was good to see that he got a run out.
Yeah, definitely a good run out and a 3-0 victory. Goals from Eddie and Tekia, Joe Willock and Pepe. First goal coming from Eddie in the 42nd minute after really just kind of a stream of just dominant play from us. And I think that the kids, they look like they play with a little bit more freedom, right? Naturally, when your opponent is a kind of weak opposition like this, you expect that. The first goal was kind of in typical Eddie and Tekia fashion. Corner kick came in from Reese. It looked like it was fumbled off of like the back of the Dunduk player, Eddie, you know, Eddie. In the six. I think they said Eddie's average distance covered per goal is like 2 meters or something like that. Like he's a true poacher, you know.
He does score a lot of goals. Yeah, he does score a lot of goals like that.
Most of
his goals are poacher type goals.
Yeah,
that
he's a
bunch of buck ups and he's just reacting first. But you know me. You know how I feel about him.
Yeah, no. Hey, look, if he keeps scoring,
I'm trying to give him. I can't say much.
The benefit of the doubt. You keep scoring
because at the end of the day,
you're a young kid.
We need that.
Yeah, you need goals, and I think that's another reason why he never went on loan as well, is because he knew he was going to get a lot of playing time this year. Being that it's really just him and Lacazette playing center forward, as it doesn't seem like Arteta is going to be playing Aubameyang up front. Often, let's just put it that way. If any,
he might need to.
Yeah, he might.
But
he
we'll save that for a different time.
Second goal scored was by Joe Willock, who I think may have been a man of the match outside. I mean, my man of the match probably was Reese, but you know, looking at the numbers on the day, Joe had a very good game. It was kind of like again. Ball played into, looking at it now, ball played into Pepe, or to Saka, I'm sorry. Saka plays in, or Eddie plays in the ball over to Pepe. Pepe tries to shoot, hits off the back of another Dunduk player. Willock takes it down perfectly, like almost like in stride, like as if Pepe like played the ball, you know, played the ball on the, you know, off the player on purpose. First touch was great, and then just plays into the roof of the net, right outside the six. One thing about Joe is, I don't know. He's kind of like a tweener, right? He's not a 10. He's not a 6. So I guess he's an 8, but he's not really an 8. So it's like, it's weird. It's weird. We don't really know what his position is. I guess it's a box to box, right? I mean, we would assume his best position as of now is a box to box midfielder. But one thing about him is, I mean, the goals he scores are, I mean, he can finish. He can finish. I mean, whether it's the, you know, a banger from 45 yards out or 30 yards out from, you know, against Liverpool at Anfield, or you know, or putting in the roof of the net, he can finish. You know, he's definitely someone that can score goals, and I think that is something. I know that is probably one of the biggest things that we're missing out of the midfield is goal scoring. So if we could somehow get him into a position where he can roam freely and kind of like, you know, do what he does best. It looks like, you know, at this point, it looks like it's goal scoring and also running, just covering distance, covering ground, stuff like that, is something he's really good at. And I think that we get him in those positions where he can run at players. He can make those Ramsey, Cesc Fabregas type runs where it's behind the defense.
I'm glad you brought that up. I think he's the closest to our Aaron Ramsey that we'll get until we go back in the transfer market. But for right now, I think he's the closest to Aaron Ramsey that we're going to get to, but I'll let you finish before
I agree completely. I think that's something we miss out of the midfield is we've always, you know, this last, since Ramsey's left, we haven't been able to replace that. We haven't found a guy that's able to cover that distance because, you know, we have a lot of passers. We got the Xhakas and the Dani Ceballoses and, you know, Lucas Torreira even. Before he, when he was here,
and none of them, none of those guys you named are very athletic.
They're so not
them.
They're not.
Them bursting forward like that, it's going to be very tough.
We don't see it happening very at all. And I think with Joe, it's not a. Excuse me. I think Joe's very talented. I think he's one of the most naturally gifted players, young players that we have in the team, physically and technically. I think he's very physically gifted. He's a big kid. Looks like he's around 6 foot, right? Maybe a little bit taller than that.
I'd say around
He just looks like a towering central midfielder. And I think with time...
Super lanky.
Yeah, definitely super lanky. I mean, he's listed at 6'1". So one of the things about Joe... I mean, what about Joe being at 21? I think I personally thought he should have got loaned out last year. I thought that he needed, you know, especially as a central midfielder. I think central midfield is one of the most difficult positions to play, I think, at the highest level in terms of positional awareness. I think that if you look at the greats, like the Xavi Hernandezes and the Andres Iniestas of the world, they're so good because they're so positionally aware. They're not the most physically demanding guys, but their first touch is perfect. They've always know where to be. They always know where to put the ball away from the player that's guarding them or marking them. And those things aren't easy, man. It's easier, I feel like, to play out wide as a kid. That's why you see all these kids. That's why you see all these young players playing out wide and getting these first team debuts, because out wide, you can, as a manager, you can go tell a kid, hey, go outside, go out there, you know, for 10 minutes and go express yourself, you know, go get the ball and go run at people. And as a kid with supreme talent specifically, at that age, it's easier to get the ball and go run at players. It's difficult as a 19, 20, 21 year old to go and play central midfield in the pot, you know, as they call it, you know, in the engine room of the game, where the game is, especially at that point when the game is so quick at that level, the game is so fast that you have to be so positionally aware to not make the mistakes. I mean, you see it, professionals make the mistakes. You know, 27, 28, 29 year old professionals at central midfield make mistakes. So it's difficult to expect Joe to be just ready to play that, especially in Arteta's system. So I thought, you know, he needed a loan more than anyone, because I 35 games, you know, even at the championship level would do him a world of justice, because then he can make mistakes. He can figure out how to not repeat their mistakes. You know, some of the times you just got to trial by fire, man. You got to go for it. You know what I'm saying? And I think that would made him a better player. Ainsley now is a very good example of that. Ainsley, who I used to watch a lot as one of our young players coming out of the academy, when he went on loan, and I forgot where it was. It leaves me, and I probably should have been more prepared to speak about it. I can actually tell you right now. When he went on loan.
Ipswich?
I think it was, I was in my head, I was thinking Ipswich, and you're right. Yep, 30 appearances for Ipswich. And he was one of the best players. Bellerin, too, went on loan. A lot of these guys, even go back as far as the Jack Wilshere, you know, going to Bolton for a season. All those guys going down and going on loan, it helps them. They come back just more experienced. And I think, you know, him going on loan would have done us a lot of good this season. But again, you know, when you're building a team, you need all your guys here, and hopefully he can continue to play in Europa League, he can continue to get Carabao Cup minutes, continue to get, you know, hopefully FA Cup minutes, and yeah, we'll hope for the best. But yeah, very good game from Joe today. And the third goal. Oh, actually, before I even get to the third goal, you had anything to add about Joe?
I mean, you kind of said everything. For me, I really enjoyed how Reese played in this game. I feel like if Reese got a goal, I think he would have been my man of the match. But Willick played, you know, just as well, and he got on the score sheet and he got the assist. But he was, both of them were very lively, and that was really good. It, you know, it helps give the manager a headache, and we kind of need that, especially, you know, with us not scoring too many goals.
Yeah, in the EPL.
So it's a good thing. I do think they should get their chances. I think it's almost time for Willian to kind of, you know, take a little back seat until he's ready to, you know, kind of come on again. Because the first game he played very well, and then after that it kind of
went downhill. We're gonna get to Willian. We'll get to Willian in a second.
Joe played a very good game. He's definitely my man of the match as well. I think anything he did just kind of went his way. So he just had one of those games where, you know, you touch the ball and magic happens.
Yeah, I agree. Three shots, two on target, kinda, one goal, yep. three key passes. I think he led the team in key passes. Outside of Cedric, I think him and Cedric, 91% pass accuracy, which is also very important, 86 touches. You know, so, I mean, you take care of the ball. As a central midfielder, I think one of the biggest things managers say is take care of the ball, right? Keep the ball moving. Yep. Don't lose it. You know, take care of the ball. You want your guys. You want your mistake-free guys in the midfield. So, you know, very, very good game for him. Reese would be my manager match. And personally, I think this was a game that was really important for Reese, because a lot of people.
And you saw it when why. You saw it in how he played.
Yes. That every time he got on the ball, he made something happen. He wanted to get involved. I think he wanted to just show the manager, like, hey, like I can do this job. Like, you don't got to put Eddie out wide, or, you know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, you ain't got to put people in uncomfortable positions, because I can do that job. And I thought he proved that last. You know, at the end of last season, when in that game against Liverpool, where he scored the brace, you know, and he just hadn't gotten that many chances since then. And I think.
See, the thing with me though, I feel like he just needs to be more consistent with him playing this confident. I feel like sometimes, like, he'll have the game like how he just had, like, against this team, and then the game he had against Liverpool, and then there's another stretch of games where he, you know, has maybe like one or two, three moments in the first half, and then the second half it kind of dies down.
Fades away.
Like, in the Liverpool game and in this game, like, you saw the whole game he was going at him, looking very lively. And I feel like once he can kind of do that more consistently, I feel like that's when he'll kind of get more of his chances to play and make a name for himself. Because at the end of the day, he's still only 20 years old, almost going to be 21, but still.
Yeah.
Like, he has time to kind of get molded into the system. But I feel like once he starts to get more confident and plays with that confidence, he will get the chances that he deserves.
Yeah.
In the starting 11, and not always with the reserve team and the second team and whatnot. So. Yeah. That's just my take on Reese. I feel like he is going to get it down very soon, but it's just a matter of when he's going to actually get it down. So I feel like if he can just string together a lot more performances like how he did, I think he'll be in a very, very good contention of getting a lot more minutes.
Definitely. And I think that getting those games and showing the manager you can do that is very important. And now the last goal, third goal, right after halftime, Pepe outside the box with his weaker foot. Class. Yeah. I mean, what can you ask for? I mean, that's another player that's on the fringe. That's another player that we were expecting to see more of, and you know, has the big price tag. That's the difference between him and Reese. He can't afford the luxury of time right now with Pepe. Reese has
the crazy thing is he's super young too. That's the wild.
He is 23, right?
Not super young, but he's younger. He's young. 25.
Yeah. He's 25?
Yeah, he's 25, oh, okay. But still, like, yeah, he's still young. But I agree. I'm not gonna cut him any slack. I think he needs to be a lot more consistent, and he needs to give a little bit more for us, so that way he can keep his position. Because I personally think he needs to be starting over Willian, but yeah, he needs to give us more.
Definitely does. Definitely needs to give us more, and I completely agree with that. But Reese is 20, you know. Reese will be 21 this year, and yep, he has the time, but Reese also didn't cost us, you know, $72 million. You know what I mean? So,
and that's the part that sucks. But at the end of the day, it's a business. And
correct.
Certain times, you know, you didn't ask for that price tag, but mm-hmm, you got it. So at the end of the day, you're going to have to deliver. And
correct.
Hey, it comes with it. Yep, exactly. It comes with the whole business aspect of it.
Yep. Well, like I said, good wins there, and you know, that kind of set us up for the big game last Sunday, which was against Manchester United, which we're going to speak about and really kind of just break that down in the next segment. So stay with us. We'll be right back, and we'll be speaking about United Arsenal. Welcome back to SFG Podcast Episode 8. I am your host once again, Lion Zion. For everyone that has been listening, I'm here with my fam, Sick, aka Coach Sick.
Yo.
So we just went through the last month of Arsenal news, games, and we're pretty much caught up if you guys have been listening thus far. And now we're kind of up to date to our last game, which was a 1-0 victory to the Arsenal against Manchester United, our first away victory in the Premier League against against Manchester United, I think, in 6 years, if I'm not mistaken. So huge victory. Very, 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 very big victory.
That's a crazy stat. Jeez.
Very crazy stat, right? Six years. I think it was 2014 was our last away victory against against them. And 2015 was our last away victory against the Big Six, which was a 2-0 win against Manchester City, if I'm not mistaken. Santi Cazorla, I think, and Giroud had the goals that game. So it's been a long time, man. We haven't had an away victory against a Big Six opponent in ages, you know. So
yeah, it's been a while.
Definitely a big match, and definitely good game. So let's just get right into it. Starting lineups for both. So in goal for us was Leno. Actually, I'll start off with the back, with the formation looked like a 3-4-3. So, you know, back three, back five, however you want to call it. Leno in goal. Rob Holding looked like a late addition. We didn't think he was going to play, and he ended up playing. Gabriel at center back. Rob Holding on the right center back role. Gabriel in the central position, and Kieran Tierney on the left in the left center back role. And so let me not say this. It could have been a back four. It looked like more of a back four.
I thought it was a back four.
And on both websites, it says back three.
I thought it was a back four.
Like I said, just looking at it again, it more watching the game, it was a back four. I'm gonna say the formation how I perceived the game was. Let's just go there, right? So Leno in goal, Bellerin on the right back role, Holding in central in the right center back role, Gabriel in the left center back role, and Tierney at left back. That's how it kind of looked like the most of the time. And the midfield was Thomas Partey, Elneny, and Saka. Now this is the first time these three have played together. And kind of the resignation or the not gonna say resignation but the absence of Granit Xhaka in the midfield in a game like this was definitely something that raised a few eyebrows. And a front three of Aubameyang, Lacazette, and Willian finally, which has been the first time these front three has played, I think, together since I don't even remember.
A few games.
Probably, I think Fulham, maybe. It may have been in the first or second game of the season. Not too sure. So these guys finally getting together to play again. So let's go take a look at United's formation. De Gea in goal. Luke Shaw on the left. Harry Maguire in the midfield. Harry Maguire at center back. Lindelof at center back as well, paired with him. And Juan Bissaka out on the right. Midfield of Pogba, Fred, Scott McTominay, and Bruno Fernandes in the 10. So they had a stacked midfield, about four in the midfield, like a 4-4-2, or kind of a 4-3-1-2, I guess you could say, and two up top with Marcus Rashford and Greenwood. Before the game started, I looked at that formation and I said, wow, it looks like they want to kind of either soak pressure up from us or control the midfield and kind of go off their two speed guys up top. But that didn't happen. It looked like from the very beginning, it looked like they set up kind of in a low block, right? Because we had the bulk of the ball and of the possession and of the chances. To really be honest, I was very surprised. I'm going to say I was very intrigued by how we kind of took the game to them from the start. And that was very apparent in the first couple minutes of the game. And also, in the first half where we had a majority of our chances, we pressed very, very well. We one thing that I know Arteta's worked on a lot is how we press. And pressing begins from the front, from your front three. If your front three presses well, then your team normally presses well. And that's one thing that this front three proved they can do today or against them yesterday. So first half, I guess we can start with the biggest chance I think we had in the first half was Saka. Cross came in, I think it was Bellerin, and Saka had a free header almost in the six, and it went over.
He has to put that on frame.
And yes, I agree. He has to put that on frame. However,
nope. I'm gonna listen.
However,
no. But go.
Let me go ahead.
Go. I'm gonna listen. I'm gonna listen to what you're saying.
Saka's all of 5'7", maybe 5'6".
No.
Maybe.
No.
Let me just finish. You can say no. You can disagree. Saka is all of 5'6", 5'7". And
he's not that short, bro.
He's more than 5'7".
Bro, I'm looking generous. At it right now. He's looking like he's 5'10". He's no not way. Short, bro. There I'm telling no you, way. He's not short. He
looks like 5'7". Maybe he's 5'10".
I'm looking at it right now. That 5'10" is not short.
He's 5'10", just like they said Allen Iverson was 6'3". You know what I'm saying?
Get out of here. No, I'm not letting you get that one off. No. I am not letting you get that off. He looks like he's 5'7", 5'8". Sorry.
But either way. Saka's not known to be for his aerial prowess. Let's put it that way. With that being said,
okay.
Snap header.
Go ahead.
Almost in the six. Great ball by Bellerin. We're gonna have a conversation about Bellerin too as well.
Yes, we need to. We need to. Because it's time.
It is, right? It is. Correct.
I agree. It's about time.
So we're gonna do that later.
He's been playing very correct. Well.
Saka in great positioning. Looking back at it now, I mean it's rough. It's rough.
He has to finish that, bro.
And the reason I say that is because
you gotta finish that.
I don't want to be that guy, but I'm gonna be that guy. If this was Lacazette or Aubameyang, we're saying the same thing, right? We're gonna slate them.
If it's any of those three
in the front, Willian, we would be slating them and saying, oh, and yet another chance missed by this front three. But again, great play, great interplay. And that's
with nothing to come out for it. Nothing. And that's the problem. Yes,
correct.
And that's why I keep saying, because right now we're doing a lot better defensively, but like we need to start putting away these chances. And that's why I can't keep saying I gotta say no, bro. He has to finish that.
For sure.
And even if you don't finish it, you gotta at least get it on frame.
On target. And again, like I said, it's not He's in a great position. You know what I'm saying? And look, Saka's arguably been our best player since the season started. If we really wanted to say,
if we really wanted to say, if the season ended today, and we could say, based off performances, that's a known statement.
Who's been player of the season? Saka has a big shot.
He has a big shot. So, for me, it's honestly him and Gabriel.
Yeah, for sure. Just based off performances. So with that being said,
I'm going to throw El Nene in there.
El Nene is another one. We're going to talk about two as well today.
To keep it real,
I'm not going to kill him too much for this.
I am.
He's going to finish. No, you're correct in everything you're saying. I'm personally just saying I wouldn't kill him too much for it because, again, you know, it is what it is, man. I'm letting them have it.
So
that was just one of a few big chances, right? Another chance came towards the end of the first half, which for some reason isn't on the match of the day highlights. So as I'm looking at it while watching this, but I remember this specifically. Lacazette ends up nicking the ball off of a throw-in. It looked like it was going to Fred, and Fred just was too late onto it or something, either Fred or another player, which started a counter right on the top of the box of Manchester United. And Aubameyang plays a great little flick back to Willian, who hits it first time on his left foot and is just unlucky that hits a post, freezes De Gea. That was just kind of the theme of the day. Front three pressing this back line that they know plays super slow. I mean, Harry Maguire and Lindelof have been horrendous at points this season. And at other points, you know, they end up, you know, putting PSG in their back pocket. So you just don't know. The thing about that Man United team is you don't know what back line you're going to get. You know what I'm saying? So, and Arteta, they look like from the jump, just said press, 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 get on them, get on the back foot, press, press, press. And that's what they did. And that was another great sequence that was just, like I said, is a theme of the day. United had a few free kicks and half chances, but within the middle part of the game, but by around the 55th minute, you can kind of tell that the game was all ours for the taking. And another great chance, Thomas Partey also had a shot from about 30, 35 yards out. After a nice little 1-2, and we're going to talk about him too in a little bit, but I mean, him and El Nene today, the amount of freedom it looked like they had through the midfield, they just kind of bossed it. I mean, it just looked great. Now, the second best chance of the day looked like it came from Aubameyang. Another great counter press. Lacazette once again nicking the ball from look like Fred again. Fred didn't have the best of games. Off of another throw in. Lacazette pounces, which is funny. It's ironic because people talk about how Lacazette's lost a step and he looks lazy at times. Yet I couldn't see that judging by today's game. I couldn't see that from the amount of running and from the amount of tackles that he's put in. Another fun fact, this front three in terms of total tackles made actually more tackles than our midfield did today. I don't know how many teams you see where your front three is tackling, making more tackles and defensive contributions in that sense than your midfield is. But that was us. That was us today. So Lacazette nicks the ball over, plays a great ball to Aubameyang. Aubameyang tries to play it first time around. Looks like Harry Maguire. Lindelof.
It should have been a corner, but it was
Lindelof tries to curl it in the corner. Lindelof gets a back on it, and it goes wide barely. And it should have been a corner, like you said. It wasn't a corner. Like the ref Mike Dean missed it. At that point, as I said, with those chances, I mean, by the 50th, 60th minute, it's just total dominance from us. At that point, we had the better of the chances. You know, a couple minutes later, Tierney fires a cross over to De Gea. I mean, right in De Gea's scope, and then he gets the ball on the top of the box, hits it wide, or hits it a little too far. But it's just, you know, United's in a low block. They're defending with 10. Where the game is in their half, and it looks like a dominating performance. And you know, when you dominate teams like that, things happen. A couple minutes later, Willian plays a ball into the box. Bellerin makes an inverted run.
That was a great run, by the way.
Really good run by Bellerin. Pogba tries to get there first, and nicks him. He gets him. PK. I think it's stonewalled PK. Especially nowadays with VAR.
I think without VAR, it's still a PK. I think he's just silly for that one.
Yeah, just a silly challenge. Really, very bad challenge. I think it's a frustrating challenge. I think Pogba is frustrated at the amount of defending he's had to do today. He played a couple of decent balls over to Greenwood and into the front three that didn't do much with it. And you can just see the frustration on his face. And the team in general, you're running, you know, you've been running for 67 minutes, 68 minutes. You've been defending in your own half at your own home against Arsenal. Yeah, maybe you leave a foot in. And Aubameyang steps up, our captain, pressure penalty, slots it in perfectly to the right. And, you know, starts to dance. You know what I mean? and at that point, it almost looks like we are being rewarded for such great play, for such dominance. I don't want to say great play. Let's call it dominance against this Manchester United team that, you know, a few days earlier just, like I said, beat a big PSG team. So after that, it kind of looked like, you know, they stepped it up a bit. It looked kind of like we went into our shell, and that was kind of more you know, with the substitutions that were made. Edson Cavani came on for Mason Greenwood. Van der Bleek came on for Bruno, and Eddie came on for Lacazette, as well as Ainsley Maitland-Niles coming on for Willian. And towards the 87th minute, Mustafi came on for Aubameyang. So it looked like we really were just kind of just holding in the shell to kind of finish the game off. And I think the best chance they had was a cross that was by, looked like Van der Beek, if I'm not mistaken. And it fired across the box. It hit either Gabriel or Elneny, and then ended up.
Yeah, it was Elneny, and it hit Leno in the face.
Face, and then I think it hit the post, right? I think it hit Leno in the face. Yeah, so I'm looking at it right now. Van der Beek makes the cross in the box. Elneny slides, hits Elneny, then it hits Leno in the face, and it hits the crossbar. I mean, it was one of those plays where you say, if you're a United fan, you say, today's not your day. You know what I'm saying? You just say, like, it's just not happening for you. Because, you know, in another day that, you know what happens? It hits Leno in the face. It goes back to Pogba or Bruno Fernandes, and he falls for a penalty, and they get a penalty. So that's normally what happens. That's a normal day for Manchester United, right? Or it hits somebody in the hand, and Manchester United gets a penalty. So today just wasn't their day. And for good reason. We played the better football. We're the better team. At Old Trafford, and we won the game. So, great game. I mean, I didn't speak about our midfield and defense too much because I wanted to really just kind of, you know, have a discussion with you about it. I just really wanted to get through the match facts first, right? So, you know, like I said, very, very good game by us. The numbers, I mean, total shots, 8-7, Manchester, because like I said, the last 10, 15 minutes really were just in the shell. Possession was 53%, 46% them, mainly again because the last 10 minutes, I mean, we played without a forward for, you know, last 5 minutes of the game. We didn't even have a center forward, you know what I mean? Pass success, 86% us to 85% them. We completed more dribbles, 6-5. They had more aerials won, 18-9. Total tackles made, 20-10, us. In favor of Arsenal. And remember what I told you earlier about our front three making more tackles than our midfield. And we had our front three actually had one less tackle than our back line. So imagine Imagine the amount of work that your front three had did to press when they're making the amount of tackles that
I feel like most of those were from Lacazette.
Anyway. Yeah, a lot of them were. Actually, him and Partey had the same amount of tackles. You know, and dispossessed 12 times for Manchester United as opposed to 4 times to us. So another fallacy that a lot of pessimistic Arsenal fans will say is our front three doesn't hold the ball up well, or our front three gives the ball away too much. Well, 4 times we're dispossessed, and all 4 times we're not from our front three, you know, compared to the 12 from Manchester United. So it watching the game and looking at these numbers, it's definitely trending in the right direction. And I think a lot of that is not only because of the press, but because of the midfield three today. Partey, Elneny, and Saka looked like the most dynamic midfield we've seen since, you know, Ozil, Aaron Ramsey, and Co. You know what I mean? It looked like these three players just understood where to be. And if you look conversely to the other side, where there's Pogba, you know, Fred, Bruno Fernandes, Matic came in. I mean, these are big name guys. These are guys that have been blooded in the Premier League. Now, you know, when you look on paper against a Thomas Partey that's played one game, you know, that's in his first start, his first Premier League start, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. No, second.
Was Leicester his first start? He started against Leicester? Let's call it first or second start. Elneny coming from the Turkish league that was supposed to be sold, you know, a year or two ago, and young Bukayo Saka that can't even drink in the United States yet. I mean,
actually, no, I lied. This was his first.
This is his first start, right? Yeah, I figured it was his first start. You know, I said Bukayo Saka, 19 years old, and Mohamed Elneny who couldn't find a club last summer. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's amazing when you look at what they were able to accomplish against a midfield of a couple world class names. Call it what you want. Pogba's a world class player. Pogba's a world class central midfielder. 5.8 rating today off who scored. Didn't play very well. Bruno Fernandes, probably their best player, looked really regular today. You know what I'm saying? Fred, who's been he's been up and down, but looked real regular, you know, and that's because of the pressing front three, which caused their midfield to come back a bit more, and because of this midfield, how great this midfield played today. And I have to give credit to Arteta for getting it right. We've been critical of Arteta the last couple weeks, as we said in the first segment, about how he was just picking the wrong personnel and everything, but he got it right. He got it right today. I got to say, he got it right today. What do you think?
I agree. I told you this. I would like to see Pepe get into the starting lineup to play with Aubameyang and Lacazette, and you know the midfield three that we have that played in this game. But at the end of the day, Willian, you know, kind of put a case out for him that he has to keep a spot because he's the one that played that key ball to Bellerin. But yeah, man, that midfield pairing was world class in this game.
I'm gonna throw some numbers at you real quick while you're going through that. Mohamed Elneny, 65 passes on the day, led the team in passes, total passes, 89.2. Can't say that for some reason. 89.2% pass accuracy. That's one long ball. One. So he wasn't playing very long, wasn't just kicking the ball, wasn't just 89.2% passing. Thomas Partey, 60 passes, second on the team, 93.3. 5 long balls, 5 accurate long balls, 100% accuracy. Long ball. Key passes today. Lacazette led the team in key passes, 2 key passes, 86.4% passing. Accurate crosses. Hector Bellerin, 2 accurate crosses. I mean, it's just the ball was moving in the right direction, and it looked like how we wanted to play, how we wanted to create chances. And the weird part about it is it's been so long since we've seen our midfield play through the middle of the park. It's always been David Luiz sending a long ball to Kieran Tierney, sending a long ball to Bellerin. We trying to play 3v2 through the wings and then crossing it into a Lacazette or a Aubameyang in between five defenders, right? And then cussing our front three for not doing stuff, right? Poking it with a stick and telling it to, do backflips. Now we have a midfield of, of guy like Bakayo Saka who's sliding into the midfield, and now he's linking up with the left and right wing backs, the left and right midfielders, and we're getting the ball through the center and the mid. We're seeing Partey advance a bit more, getting into attacking positions, and I am excited to see that. I'm excited because it's been years since Emery was here. We kept saying we want to see this front three. Whether it's Lacazette, Aubameyang, and Pepe, Lacazette, Aubameyang, Willian, we want to see this front three when the back line and midfield isn't so dependent upon them to drop so deep. And Lacazette, looking at his average position again, looking at his heat map, he's still dropping deep. He's still in, he's still having to help out, but just doesn't have to do it as much. It's seeming like it's going to be less and less. And once we continue to figure this out and we are more cohesive as a team, we can finally let our front three do what they should be doing. Pressing from the front, getting chances created for them while creating chances, countering and hopefully scoring goals. So, Bellerin, we need to have this conversation.
Yeah, man, he's looking like he's back on form of when he, had the best season of his career a few years back.
I think it's 2016.
Yeah, somewhere around there. But he's looking very, very good this season. I'm not going to jump the gun and say, he's the best XYZ, but I'm going to say he's having a very good season, and he almost needs to be in the contention of, almost getting a call-up again. Think he's been playing very well to earn himself another one of those.
I agree.
To kind of add to his resume. But he's definitely looking like the old Bellerin as of late, and I'm actually pretty happy about that. I'm not sure if it's a, Arteta effect or what it is, but I think he has flipped the switch and he's starting to play like his old self again. Me personally, I think it's the vapors, but that's another discussion for another day.
It might be. He's looking kind of quick again, but no, it's purple patch for him. It's getting. He's on form, and it goes back to kind of the conversation we're having about Pepe and Willian, because I think his best games have been with Willian in front of him, as opposed to Pepe. Willian, I think he, first game he looked great, right? He looked like a wow new signing, 2 assists. He looked really well, and it hasn't really kicked on since then. However, he's been hurt a few times too as well, so it hasn't been the best. However, he does what Arteta's asking to do, which is press, counter press, do whatever we need to do on the front three. And also, that's the difference between him and Pepe. Is the press, and not only the press, but Bellerin looks more comfortable with Willian in front of him. While when we do end up dropping back into the defensive third and the midfield third, he seems like a better outlet than Pepe is. And I think because Pepe likes to dribble, and he likes, and sometimes in our defensive third when we just need an outlet, Pepe kind of likes to dance around it, or sometimes he'll come short when he's not supposed to. And I've seen Bellerin a few times look frustrated when he's trying to use that outlet, and Pepe sometimes just doesn't do what I think Bellerin is needing from his right wing to do. And I think with Willian, you can kind of see the more cohesiveness between them. You can see I don't know the word, for lack of better words, I'll just say the partnership looks better. And I think that is a big reason why Willian plays over Pepe. I don't think Willian is more naturally talented or gifted than Pepe is. And I personally think Pepe's ceiling is higher than Willian is. But I think a big reason why we got Willian was because Arteta knew that it's going to take Pepe some time. It's going to take him some time to adapt to this league. And I know he's been here for a year now, almost a year and a half. But I mean, he's gone through what, 4 managers at that time? 3?
Yeah.
Right? And on top of that, 3 managers that played 3 different styles of football, and now you have to learn Arteta's way of, you know, his tactics. It's not easy. 25 years old. That's crazy.
I also think it's a language barrier, man. Cuz you know, Pepe doesn't know that much English.
Yeah.
And I feel like Bellerin, you know, obviously Willian is a little bit more fluent in English. True. Not the best, but he's way more fluent than Pepe.
Yep.
Yeah, he's fluent enough, like way more than Pepe.
So, and he's a Premier League veteran. He's a Premier League veteran.
That too. I just also feel like he's just more comfortable, you know, talking to Willian than he is talking to Pepe, just because of that language barrier. But I mean, at the end of the day, you're professional, so you know you're supposed to know certain things. But that's a key role in a lot of these teams, the communication aspect of it, and a lot of people don't realize that. So I obviously still think he needs to get more of a chance, but like I said, that is probably a strong possibility why Bellerin is more comfortable with Willian in front of him than he is with Pepe in front of him. So, I mean, hopefully they continue to work on the English aspect and just, you know, try to get him more comfortable with playing with the starting 11 so he can get that chance that he deserves.
Very true. I agree. I agree with that. And it's only a matter of time, man. Only a matter of time.
I agree. See
that. And like we said, just going back to the game, big win. Big, 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 big win.
Who's your man of the match? Tough one.
2 players.
Nope. Gabriel. No.
I'm gonna give you my man of the match.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say who
I like to that out of those 2 players, but I'm gonna give
you. I got you. Okay, okay.
Gabriel led the team in tackles.
Monster 5. Game.
Led the league in led a team in tackles with 5, I think second in interceptions with 2, no, 3rd in interceptions with 2, second in clearances with 5, first in block shots, right? On top of that, 91.8% passing out the back, 49 passes, 2 long balls, 1 accurate long ball. Just an amazing game from him, man. I mean, that's a center back performance to go into Old Trafford and get a clean sheet. Not many teams have done that. We haven't done that in years. So, great game for him. But I would say Thomas Partey has got to be my man of the match. I mean, he's just a different level, man.
He's just different, he's a
different,
man.
Level.
Yeah, it's crazy. Mean, he's your different.
First, like I said, going back to what I said earlier, your first Premier League start, you're playing against Pogba, Bruno Fernandes, you know, Fred, Scott McTominay, Matic. When
you know, it's great. Actually, look, not to cut you off. Sorry, I actually look back. He started against Leicester.
It was Leicester, right? Okay, so your second Premier League start. Your first with Bakayo Saka and Elneny next to you. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Your first Premier League away start. We'll say that, right? Call it that, since we played Leicester at home, I think it was.
Yeah. So
your first away Premier League start at Old Trafford. You know, crowd or not, it looked easy. It led the team in dribbles with 4. One of those dribbles was a nasty nutmeg. to Fred, in transition, you know, one shot on target. I mean, your passing stats are just amazing. 60 passes, second in the team to to El Nene at 93.3 pass percentage. Just didn't give the ball away. 5 accurate long balls out of 5. I mean, what else could you say? 4 total tackles, 2 interceptions, 1 clearance. I mean, this is just all in all a great game. Dispossessed one time. You know, that's a big stat for me. How many times are you dispossessed? Once. You know what I'm saying? There's only been out of the 4 dispossessions, 2 of them were Lacazette and up front between the 2 banks of 4. 1 was Willian, 1 was Partey, and the rest of the team, nobody. That shows that you're taking care of the football while 12 dispossessions from Manchester United. That's a huge stat for me. That shows me that the team is not just giving the ball away anymore. It wasn't like we were just hitting long balls up there. We were trying to play out the back, just like how Arteta wants us to do it. And he's a big part of that, a huge part of that. Truly box to box. I mean, you see the distance that he covered. He was all over the place today. And our team just, you know, when you sign that one player or a new guy comes to your team, and I think this is on every level, whether you're playing, you know, youth level, top class level, you know, scholastic level, when a player of quality comes to your team, it raises your game. The rest of the team's game raises. You know what I mean? You know, when you play with better players, you just play better. Some players are like that. A lot of players are like that. It just looks like he's the type of guy that when he gets into that team, we just play better. We play at another level. It looks like we're playing better. And I think Partey has that effect. And Gabriel kind of has that effect in the back line too, in a sense, where you can see him take care of certain things now and you're like, okay, we got a guy here. But I think my manager match today was Partey. Now, shout out to El Nene. I want to say that. Shout out to El Nene because it wasn't just from a monster game from Partey and Gabriel. I think El Nene would be a close third to me. I mean, he didn't put a foot wrong, and he's 3 interceptions today. Great pass accuracy today too, as well. He's led the team in actual passes, 65 passes, as I said earlier. 89.89% pass accuracy. I mean, these are great numbers against a Manchester United team that we normally don't do this against. So Partey, my man of the match, though, for sure. Gabriel, close second. El Nene, close third. How about you?
Man, I'm going to have to agree with you 100% on all 3 of those. Partey is just exceptional, man. He is what we've been looking for in the last 15 years, if you want to put it that way. The for last sure. 15 years, for we've sure. been... No,
it's
we've
Patrick been, Vieira, right?
Yeah. That's why I'm saying that the last 15-ish years, we've been looking for a player like that, and it's been a very long time. But I'm glad he's here because you could just tell the difference of how we're playing and the way our team looks when he's on the pitch. So, yeah, I mean, there's nothing really else I could say because you kind of nailed everything. I couldn't agree with you anymore. He's definitely my player of the game. I personally would put El Nene in the strong second and then Gabriel in the strong second as well. Like, I feel like them two were neck and neck in the next contention of player of the game, in my opinion. I thought they both, you know, played very, very intelligent and they kind of like were the difference makers as well in a lot of different aspects of the game. But yeah, man, Partey is my player of the game, and those other two are kind of neck and neck with the close second, in my opinion. I can't really separate those two for a second and third. I also think Rob Holding had a very, very good game.
I was
as
about
well,
to say that too. Shout out to Rob Holding. Also, really, really good.
Just coming off an injury.
And Rob has played, historically, he's played very good against Manchester United. Historically, he's played against a lot of the big teams. I mean, Liverpool, he's against Mane. So like the two or the three big wins from against Liverpool has been Rob. I mean, this is another guy that, you know, I mean, we're starting to finally see this back line take shape. Yeah. I think, you know, Saliba, whatever comes good from that. I think Rob definitely has a spot here. If not our second center back, our third center back.
You know, it's crazy. It's not to cut you off and not to switch it off of Rob. Arteta kind of, you know, I mean, it sucks because you never really know all these injuries are going to happen. But he's kind of bummed that he didn't put Saliba in, you know, the squad for like Europa League and whatnot, because mm-hmm. these would have been perfect games for him to get some experience.
Yeah, for sure.
But, hey, I mean, Rob, like you said, he could definitely be in contention to be a strong third or fourth center back behind these other center backs that we have now.
Rob's better than a lot of center backs in the Premier League right now. I know a lot of teams are wishing they would have Rob Holding on their team right now. I personally think so.
They almost did, but Arteta said, staying, and you're in my plans. So, for sure. I will say that was a good call.
Yep. 57 passes today, by the way, just quick numbers. 91.2% pass accuracy.
That's good.
For Holding. 6 clearances as well, too.
I think he's getting a lot better with playing out the back as well. Because, we spoke about that.
Definitely. Definitely.
And not a few pods ago.
Yep.
We were kind of saying how, you know, if he doesn't get better with the distribution,
it's gonna be hard for him to play.
It's gonna be tough because we want to play out the back, and
for sure.
You already saw
him juggling against Fulham. He was juggling in the midfield. Yeah.
Yep. So, but it's crazy though. Like if you check out his history, he kind of does that. I'm not gonna say he does it a lot, but he has a history of doing like the juggling, like while he's going up the field. He did it when he was at his other team. He did it a few times. He's done it when he was on our, like, a few games for us. So, like, it's actually kind of funny because he has a history of kind of doing that up the pitch. And it's like, okay, like, I get you. You got it. You got that. Okay.
Yeah, right. Hold that down.
That's in your bag. That's in your bag, for sure.
For sure.
But, you know,
I've always been a fan of Rob.
You got that.
I remember we had that conversation about Rob.
Me too.
I've always been a fan of his, and I'm super glad he's gotten back fit, because I think we've definitely needed him in this midfield. So, I mean, in this back line. So,
yeah, I agree. Definitely, 100%.
Great win.
I'm glad he came back.
Great timing.
Strong.
Great timing.
Yes, definitely. So, but yeah, man, great
big
win.
3 points.
Great
big,
win.
Big, huge 3 points. And that puts us at, standings-wise, in the Premier League at ninth on 12 ninth, points. Yep. You know, right behind Villa and Chelsea. And Man United sitting at a lowly 15th place with 7 points. So, I mean, they're closer to relegation than they are to top six right now. And, difficult times for them. So, coming up, we have a Europa League match against Norwegian outfit FC Molde FK. Now, this is actually probably going to be our most difficult game in the Europa League group standings, as we both sit on 6 points, us and them. They've also beat Dundek and Rapid Wien. So this will probably be a very important game. This is at home. So
what's your prediction of it?
I think I'm hoping 2-0, comfortable. Maybe 3, depending upon, you know, how it goes. I'm not sure if we're gonna be playing, you know, the big first team, or, you know, this is at home. So I will probably see Leno. I hope we don't have to play Rob. I would rather rest him, because we have a big game on Sunday against Aston Villa, who's also ahead of us. So, and this is you know, Aston Villa team that has definitely got some guys on that team that will cause a lot of problems. You know, such as Jack Grealish, who's looking like an early season, you know, player of the season right now. And yeah, I think Arteta has to keep one eye on that. I think he definitely has to keep one eye on that. So maybe we see Kolasinac and David Luiz if David's fit. Maybe he doesn't play Gabriel. I don't know. I actually don't know. I would like to see Cedric. I would like to see the Europa League team play. Like Cedric, Kolasinac, maybe you throw David Luiz in there. Maybe you start Ainsley so we don't start Kieran Tierney. Maybe we see a Joe Willock and Elneny. Probably Xhaka. And that's one thing we didn't speak about and was about the omission of Granit Xhaka. I don't think this means we're going to see a trend. I think we're still going to see Granit Xhaka a lot. I think we'll see him play a lot of the main games.
I honestly think he just got rested because he's been playing 90-minute games.
I don't think it's rest. Only reason why I don't think it's rest is because he didn't play against the he didn't start against that last Europa League team.
But I'm saying he's been playing a lot.
Yeah, I think games like this, Liverpool, United, and stuff like that, I think he's going to be rested most of those games because I think ideally you would want an Elneny, Partey, and either a Saka or a Dani Ceballos. I think you need more dynamic midfield than Xhaka, who's more so that deep lying playmaker that's going to make the passes and stuff like that and kind of sit. We don't want Xhaka running around covering the left backs and letting right backs. That's not a strong suit. His strong suit is get the ball at his feet, let him distribute. And that's what
I don't like. I don't like him going to the left center back or left back. Correct. I hate that.
And I think we're gonna see less of that now. I think Arteta tried it, saw it didn't work, and said, "All right, we're gonna get, you know, that's not gonna happen anymore." You know, so I think we'll see him tomorrow. I think we'll see him on Thursday. I think we may see him and Joe Willock maybe do the back three, back four, back five thing again. I really hope we don't. I hope it'll be a back four.
I honestly
four.
Think we see him and Ceballos.
Or him and Ceballos, yeah. Maybe him. I would rather see Joe only because Ceballos is hurt.
I think he completes the three.
Oh, I see what you're seeing. Like, granted, like Xhaka, Ceballos, and Joe Willock.
Yeah.
I can see that.
That was my three that I picked.
Yeah. Ideally, I would want to see Leno. Maybe Leno has to play because, you know, this is probably the best team in the Europa League. So maybe he plays Leno. Right back, Cedric. Center back, David Luiz. Maybe, I guess, you put Kolasinac at left center back. So then
where are you going to put Maitland-Niles?
Left back. Play him at left back. I'd play him out there.
Oh, you said Kolasinac at left center back.
Yeah, left center back, yeah. And then play Ainsley Maitland-Niles at left back. Only because I would rather rest Gabriel, rest Rob Holding for Sunday. I would rest them against Villa. This Villa team is a team that if you don't take lightly, I mean, they're ahead of us in the league right now. So I play Maitland-Niles at left back. He's probably going to play Tierney, but whatever. Midfield of Granit Xhaka, Ceballos, and Willock. If Ceballos is fit, because I know he had that injury coming off an international break and looked like a shell of himself when he did get on. But he does need some games, so I'd play him there. I would play the front three. I'd play Reece, Eddie, and Pepe. I would play the same front three that you played against the last team. Now, granted, like I said, this is a much better team, but we're playing at home. You put Lacazette on the bench, put Aubameyang on the bench, put Willian on the bench. Give them the first half. If something happens, just like against Rapid Wien, we're playing at home, should be comfortable. And if something happens, you put on, you know, you have five subs. Put them on if something happens. You know what I'm saying? So I would do that. I would start that team. Only because, like I said, I mean, even though this is the best team we're probably going to play in the group, I still think we're miles better than they are, you know? So I would probably go with that. I would rest Lacazette, rest Aubameyang, rest Willian, and see if that front three can make it work. What do you think?
I don't disagree. Only thing I would probably change is the goalie. I think I'm gonna let Alex Renison. I'm gonna give him another run in the goal instead of Leno. The back four that you put, I agree with it for the most part. The middle three I agree with, and the front three I agree with. I just would switch the goalkeeper because there's no reason to not give, you know, the second string.
The only reason why I was thinking about it was because we haven't really seen him play against, you know, anybody yet, and even the Irish team.
And that's why.
I guess I was just saying Leno because, you know, this team is the second best team in this group, and they haven't lost yet. So it's like maybe you play, you know, you just to be sure. Maybe you play Leno, but I mean, either way, I'm cool with that. Either way, I think the more important thing is the back line, and the front three. So we'll see. So we'll definitely get a pod. We'll definitely try to see if we can get a pod in between Thursday and Sunday, so we can kind of review that Europa League game and maybe preview that Villa game once we have some more answers on injury updates and stuff like that. So maybe Friday or Saturday, try to drop one for you guys on then. But for everyone else that's been listening up to this point, we appreciate it. I think that's pretty much all we got left here, Isaac.
Yeah, man. Thank you guys for tuning in.
We appreciate really
appreciate it, for sure.
Definitely. We're definitely going to be posting more regularly now. As I said, very humbling experience having, you know, the amount of people reach out to us asking us about the pod. And we're definitely going to be getting some more guests on. We had some very positive feedback having our first guest V2 on. So we're trying to definitely get some more guests on as we play some big teams and get their opinions and stuff like that. We really just want to grow the pod, man. So if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, inputs, please feel free to reach out. You guys see our Instagram, SFG Podcast, our Twitter. Definitely reach out, man. Reach out, let us know, because we really appreciate the feedback. It's super important. And you know, the fact that people are listening, the fact that people are subscribing, it means the world to us, because it shows that you guys share the same passion that we do about the mighty Arsenal. So we do appreciate that. And any last words, Sick?
No, man. I'm just very, very humbled that, you know, like you said, we're getting a lot of feedback, and it's just very humbling, man. So thank you guys again, and we'll definitely get this content out to you guys as soon as possible.
For sure. And if nothing else, we will see y'all soon, man. COYG. Up the Gunners.
Peace. Always. Peace.